الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا بني إني أذهبك فانظر ماذا ترى صدق الله العظيم وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه والصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله All praise, all glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one and only, the independent, the everlasting. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his purified and beautiful family members and upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all on this blessed, noble day of Jumu'ah, and may our attendance become a means for our guidance, for our success, for our salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And may we be raised together on the day of Qiyamah inside Jannatul Firdaus Al-A'la. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Before we begin the discussion for Jumu'ah today, one question I want you to have in mind is to ask yourselves, for those who are young, for those who are middle-aged, and for those who are old, how was your relationship with your father? Because this is a very important question. As Asians, and perhaps also people from the Middle East, our relationships are generally quite linear. It's quite simple. It's always the authoritative type of role that our fathers have and how they treat, whether it's the son or whether it's the daughter. And generally our mothers as well, they say, wait till your father comes back. Because it's a factor that they use to instill some form of discipline, some form of fear. So generally we understand the father figure from Asian and Middle Eastern concepts is the authoritative figure. And we may have some exceptions to that rule where fathers are much more loving and caring and develop a relationship, etc. But generally as a whole, from our own personal experiences and from what we can gauge in our society, it's always black and white. Do this, don't do this, this will happen, that will happen, and this is how you follow the leader within the home. So today, inshallah, we will touch upon this particular relationship of a father and a son, and a father equally with the daughter as well. And we will connect it to Hajj, which may seem a bit far-fetched, but nevertheless, it's actually quite intimately connected with Hajj itself. So as you know, we are in the beautiful month of Zulhijjah. We are in the beautiful 10 most beloved and blessed days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Afdalul ayyam, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has explicitly mentioned in many ahadith, the best of the days in the entire year are the first days of Zulhijj. But it's important for us to not allow these 10 days, and especially this particular month, to just become another month that comes and goes, and another mundane month that we just pass by without actually deeply connecting with it, reflecting and pondering on all of its various treasures and lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within it. Allah azza wa jalla reminds us in the glorious Quran, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ, that all of us, we must learn a lesson for those people who have an insight, for those people who have eyes and who have ears, for those people who have any form of intellect, whether external or internal, use that and take lessons from everything that is around you. And most importantly, we need to take lessons from the month of Zulhijjah that we are in. That it's not just another month where we see pilgrims going around and doing particular acts on particular days, and for them to do a qurban and to a sacrifice in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, these are absolutely paramount and important. But before we get to all of those steps, you need to ask yourselves, how did we get there? What was the journey that brought us to Hajj and all of the sha'air of Hajj? So inshallah al-Aziz, today we will reflect upon Hajj and the Qurbani, how it came about. And it primarily came about via this conversation between a father and a son. This is how all of Hajj unravels and pans out, because of a father's conversation with his son. If the father didn't have the conversation, we wouldn't have Hajj today. Or if he had a different conversation, we wouldn't have Hajj today. Or perhaps if the son answered in a different way than what we have learned, Hajj would not be here today. So this particular conversation is absolutely crucial for us to understand. It was a test, undoubtedly, for both father and son in their faith and in their obedience. And also, something that we overlook, it was a test in their relationship. How healthy was their relationship? What type of communication and relationship did they have with one another? And this is why I said at the beginning, just reflect back on your fathers who are living or those who have passed away, and ask yourselves, what type of relationship did you have? And the majority of the happiness and the joy and the things that you'll have will be connected to your mother, or perhaps your siblings, and the other ones where you were scared or told off or told just to do X, Y, and Z, it will be connected to your father. But today, inshallah, we will learn fatherhood and parenthood from the Islamic paradigm, and especially from the aspect of Hajj. And the first lesson that we learn from Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, which he teaches us via his life and also which we learn in the Quran, is to be an active father. Now, majority of the time the fathers are at work, the child doesn't really see them. And when they come home, the fathers are busy with their newspapers or sitting on their couch and relaxing and saying, don't disturb me, tang na karo, I've had a long day, don't bother me, and just go, get out and go to your room and go X, Y, and Z. This is not active fathering. This is not how a father should be. There should be a daily interaction and conversation between a father and a son, and equally for a daughter as well. If you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this example for Ibrahim alayhi salam and both of his sons, Ismail and Ishaq. We see in the Quran again, well, Luqman alayhi salam, he talks and he advises his son. And again, we see Ya'qub alayhi salam, he has this dialogue and conversation with his son, that what will happen to Yusuf, what will happen with his brothers and his siblings, how will they interact, all this dialogue. And if you actually look from the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha all the way to the end of the Quran, you will not actually see a dialogue between a mother and a son, an active dialogue. But you will see all of these examples in the Quran of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Luqman alayhi salam, and Ya'qub alayhi salam, and even Nuh alayhi salam. He's telling his son that, come here if you want to be saved. Ya bunay yarkab ma'ana. But the son goes, no, I will not follow you. So we have all of these conversations between all of the prophets and their sons. Some listen, some obey, some disobey. But this is a lesson in itself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that by default, mothers will always do the tarbiyah. Mothers will always do the upbringing. Mothers will always be there engaging in this dialogue and conversation. But the fathers should not be absent in that relationship. So the mothers are by default, yes, active nurturers. But the Quran is teaching us a very important lesson. For those who have children, don't just think that, oh, you know, there's somebody else's responsibility. It took two of you to bring that child into this world. And it will take two of you to get this child through this world onto the next. It's not just your wife's responsibility or your mother's or your auntie's, anybody else. It's yours. So fathers, do not delegate. Tu jaane, tera kam jaane, tera puttar jaane. This is what we say. Tera puttar, teri beti, your son, your daughter did this. No, your son as well. They have a 50-50 DNA. So do not be those couch fathers. Do not be those fathers who are not engaged with their children and just listen to their wife. He did this, 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 this. She did this, this, this. And then just give you hukum. That's it. This is what you need to do now. You go to your room or go out, or you're grounded X, Y, and Z without actually speaking to your child and finding out his behavior and how he is living and all of the different dynamics, the emotional, the biological, the spiritual, the intellectual, all of the things that are going on in his mind. How can you know any of that if you are never present in the life of your son? So this is the first lesson that we learn from Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he has a healthy dialogue, communication and relationship with his son. And this is why the Quran mentions that as well, that Ibrahim alayhi salam has this conversation. قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَىٰ, that I see this. Then what do you think about this particular situation? Then the next lesson that we learn from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is to give a good upbringing. It's not just about being present, being physically there, but it's also making sure that you are actively involved and giving the right guidance and the tarbiyah and the akhlaq and the values to your children. So Ismail alayhi salam's response to his father shows his maturity, that he has a relationship. Many a times we don't even look in the eyes of our parents, we look down. Many a times whatever they say without even understanding anything from A to Z, we just say G, G, yes, yes, and then we'll just say, we'll get on with it, even though we don't understand whether that's good for us or beneficial for us, or whether we are allowed to challenge or have a healthy dialogue and discussion. But Ismail alayhi salam, he understands his father and he shows his maturity, he shows his understanding, and then he also shows his obedience and his commitment to his father. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, that we gave him good news of a forbearing boy. He's still a boy, he's a young lad, he's a ghulam. That means that he still has an understanding and a healthy conversation, and he's been brought up in the right way by his father. So fatherly guidance, the tarbiyah, in all of our religious affairs is equally as important as it is in our worldly affairs. The fathers will come in and say, make sure you get an A star, make sure you do this, make sure you succeed, make sure X, Y, and Z. But the father must always be there as well to say, make sure you are praying. Come on, let's pray together. Let's go to the Jummah together. Let's do this together. So in order for your child to succeed, you need to be actively there. And then you need to be actively communicating with your child and giving them good nasiha, good tarbiyah, good ahkam in order for them to succeed. And good parenting is not something that comes by default. You have to learn and you have to prepare. And just because you are a prophet, it doesn't mean your child will automatically listen to you. Oh, my father is the prophet of Allah. My father is a messenger of Allah. My father is a sheikh X, Y, and Z. That doesn't mean your child will listen to you automatically. No, he is a prophet. That is his maqam and his status. But primarily, he is your father. And you need to make sure that you are his son, and he needs to make sure that he is fathering you in the correct way. He's parenting you in the correct way. So no prophet is absolved from even parenthood. They have to also do all of their duties, and they have to do the best that they can towards their children. And the third thing that we learn from Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he has this conversation, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ, that I have had this inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have reached this particular age, I want to have this conversation with you. What do you think? So that effective communication, that clarity in the conversation and the words that you use. Because sometimes words can be ambiguous. Sometimes you can intend something, but the child can understand something else. So effective and clear communication is absolutely paramount when a father is communicating with their child, whether it is the English language, whether it is in Arabic or Urdu or Patwari, any particular language. Be absolutely clear in what you feel, what you want, what you expect, and then share that with your child so they understand exactly what you are intending and what you want, the purpose. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, that فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعُ السَّعْيَ, that when he reached this particular age of understanding and maturity, then Ibrahim alayhi salam said, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ, that he spoke to him in a very kind and gentle manner. Majority of the time, our parents, our fathers are very abrupt. Oi, idiya. Oi, come here and do this, 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 this. No. Ibrahim alayhi salam could have used any other particular word. But no, in the Quran, it's mentioned, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ. Ya Bunayya is a word of endearment deliberately used by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Not just, oi, son, or, oh, you know, Ismail, come here. No. It is a word of adab. It is a word of love, of affection, instead of using authority and power. So this is why I say, go back to your own personal lives and see how your father and how your mother, they address you, how they call you, how they communicate with you, whether they sit you down, whether they share, whether they have this dialogue and communication with you, or it's just hukum, 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 and that's it, go on and do what you need to do. You know, I often think that if somebody wants to be a pilot, what do they have to do? They have to go through years of university, then they have to go through years of training, then they have to read so many manuals, and they have to go through so many simulations, hours and hours and hours of simulations, and then the authorities say, okay, now you are capable of taking care of this A380 or this 747, etc. Now you can take care of this. How many of us actively learn anything about what it is to be a father, what it is to be a mother? You have 9 months given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but none of us have a clue. We don't read anything, we don't reflect upon the Quran, we don't research and understand. How will you understand your child when it's going through so many biological changes? How will you understand the mental things that are going through in your mind, or the peer pressure, or anything else? Or will you just say, this is how we did it, this is how we were brought up, and now we will be exactly the same copy and paste? No. You need to learn, you need to study, you need to research, because you are taking care of a child. Imagine what you have to do for a plane or for a vehicle in order for you to get a license. Do you not care about this precious thing that you have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to navigate that child through all of its stages in its life, from childhood up until they pass away, and you have to make sure that they get from the dunya to Jannah? How many of us prepare for that? We don't. We just wing it. That's what we do. But look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's actively there in the life of his son. He's actively doing good tarbiyah and good upbringing for his child. He's communicating in absolutely clear words, and he's having that conversation with his son. But we fall short in all of these things in our lives. We just think, oh, that's fine. They'll learn in their own way. The fourth thing that we learn from this particular story, before Hajj ever even comes about, is that we have to make sure that we have faith with conviction instead of faith with blind obedience. This is a very, very important thing for us to reflect upon. So our relationship doesn't need to be with our children, oi, listen to me, and oi, obey me. This is the ruling and you have to do this. Ibrahim alayhi salam, even though this inspiration, this hukum came from whom? Came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't say to his son, oi, come here and listen to me, and listen to my command, and listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said. He didn't say that. He didn't say to him, I absolutely command your obedience and your faith, whatever you have to do. No. He actually sought his opinion. Don't ever think, yeah, but chin, these are just kids, what do they know? The kids these days are even far ahead of us in many, many ways. Give your children that respect, that benefit. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, at that age, even though he's a ghulam mentioned in the Quran, Ibrahim alayhi salam asks his son, فَانْزُرْ مَا زَا تَرَى, What is your opinion? What do you think about this hukum which has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Again, we don't want just our children to be carbon copies, just to be sheep. What I do, you do. The way I behave, you behave, etc. Yes, in certain areas, that's fine. But we also need to make sure that we instill a critical mind within our children for that they can understand why are they being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expect and demand of them? This critical thinking is very, very important in order for us to cultivate faith in obedience within them in a natural way, in a healthy way. Why is it that so many of our children, when they go to university, they go to university and they are free from all of the constraints from what they had in their home or in their society, then they just go crazy. And they end up doing everything that they wanted to do in their lifetime. Why? Because as they were brought up, they weren't taught the reasons of why we don't do this and why we don't do this and why we behave in things like this. And say, look, these are the ahkam. Now you have to think about it yourself and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or your relationship with me. But if children come to their own terms, then they will be much more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why at the age of puberty, the taklif begins from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then at the age of puberty, your actions begin and they are recorded, whether you do good or whether you do bad. You have to, as an individual, as a person who is mature now, you have to make your decisions on whether you are going to obey or disobey Allah azza wa jal. You're going to obey or disobey your parents. But if your parents have never instilled that critical thinking within you from a young age, then obviously when they have that freedom, they're going to rebel. They're going to say, oh, whoa, why should I have to do this? You know, I was forced to do this all my entire life. Now I'm going to do what I want. So faith and conviction, instead of just authoritative and say, listen to me and obey me. This is very, very important. Instead of drilling dogmatic views within our children. Yes, we have our aqidah and we have those principles which do not change. We need to explain them to our children in the correct way. But we need to give them that freedom to grow and explore within a safe environment for them to understand, these are my limitations, these are parameters, these are my principles, this is my particular way of life. And don't just think, oh, if I do this to my child, what will happen? Even in the Quran, we see examples of angels who never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who always obey Allah azza wa jal. Nevertheless, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the angels do question. They question the reason for creating Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. They ask. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them an answer. He gives them an answer. So give your children that ability to grow and then give them the right answers, to give them that peace and to solidify their iman and their heart and strengthen them. If it's always as black and white, do this because I've told you, then your children will naturally rebel as they grow older. Even Uzair alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah azza wa jal, when he is there, he questions how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect a man after he has caused him to die for 100 years. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the example. Ibrahim alayhi salam again questions his people and questions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to their critical and objective thinking, provides an answer to them. So don't be afraid when your children challenge you. Nurture that. Channel that in the correct way, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us via the life and parenthood and fatherhood of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then the fifth lesson that we learn is to be consultative in family affairs. And this is a very important thing because majority of us fall short in this particular arena. We don't even consult our wives 90% of the time. We don't. We just tell them, okay, I'm doing this and that's it. And you expect everybody to line up and that's it and just follow you because you are the supposed leader within the home. No, there needs to be a consultation, a shura within the family as well. So there was this divine injunction, this hukum ilahi coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, nevertheless, what did he do? He consulted his son. He had this conversation with him. He maintained both roles. The role of being a prophet and accepting that revelation, and also the role of a father and consulting his son as well. So fathers should not just always impose and be ready to impose their hukum and that's it. Kadiya to kadiya, as we see in dramas and films, I've said it and that's it. You know, this is how we behave with our children. But in the Quran, we have lots and lots of examples that even if you want to wean off your child from breastfeeding, there has to be a mutual consultation between the husband and the wife, and they both have to agree before they wean the child off from breastfeeding as well. Other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, again and again, in eternal affairs, in family affairs, in communal affairs, always consult with one another. But why is it that we don't consult our own children, whom it affects? We all petition and we all protest and do so much when the government does something and says something, or the council, how dare you, we weren't consulted and you just did it, X, Y, and Z. Imagine I did something on Juma, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, where's the consultation process? So there needs to be a consultation process, especially within the home. And we learn this directly from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he asks him, Fanzur. Maza tara, you tell me, what do you think? This hukum, this ilah, this law that you know I have been worshipping and you worship him as well. We've been living a life of Islam and submission. He has given me this hukum. What do you think now? Imagine yourself in that position. If you were a prophet, I think our behavior based on who we are now would be very, very different. So this underlines a very, very crucial point for parents, that just because you are in a position of power, of authority, of influence, it doesn't mean that you should always impose your ahkam. You need to be wise and you need to make sure you have this healthy conversation, this dialogue. But if it's built upon this good tarbiyah and good akhlaq and living a life of faith and conviction, when it comes time for you to say beta, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated the hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated this. Your child will automatically do that and obey Allah azza wa jalla, and by default obey you. Because there you are part of that beautiful parenthood and that development from a young age. But if you have no tarbiyah, no akhlaq, no deen in the home, and when they reach 13, 14, you say, oi, namaz par, oi, hijab par, and then, why should we? What kind of life? Why do you expect us just to listen to you now? Now we're mature. Now we can do whatever we want. Who are you to tell us? It will fire back at you. And you will be at loss in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And the sixth lesson that we learn from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam with his son is to use the tests that come in our life in the good upbringing of our children. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares that وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِزِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ, that it was a great test of faith. It was a great test of submission and obedience that they fulfilled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises father and praises the son for passing it. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِزِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that this was a great, great calamity, great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they passed in flying marks. قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that they fulfilled the vision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the good doers. It was truly a revealing and a very, very difficult test. So we need to make sure that just the way we encourage our children to pass the test of the dunya, what marks did you get? What grade did you get? What numbers did you get? Where are you? What position are you in your particular class? How will you achieve this? How we want you to succeed in this particular arena or this particular area? X, Y, and Z. We use all of those and we reward them. I'll buy you this. I'll buy you a phone. I'll buy you a tablet. And we reward them for all of their worldly achievements. Equally, if not more importantly, we need to make sure that we use the tests of the dunya and apply them within our faith as well. And we reward our children and appraise them and make sure that they are ready for the hereafter, because this entire life is a life of test. Whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are rich, whether you are poor, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is a life of test, no matter who you are. And if we fail to prepare our children for the tests of life, not for the tests of school and university and work, for the test of life, the loss, the suffering, the difficulty of test of faith and the test of the grave and the test of the hereafter, then we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why did you not prepare your child for this particular test? And the seventh thing that we learn from the fatherhood of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the achievements and the legacies are the true things that we leave behind. The money will remain here, the properties, the wealth, everything will remain here. What does continue is your legacy that you have left behind, the good a'mal that you leave behind. And look at how Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam were rewarded. What is their legacy today? In 2023, millions of people today and up until the day of Qiyamah will continue to follow the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the legacy of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. This is the achievement that they did when they obeyed and they had full conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they lived a life of Islam and they made sure that they had a healthy relationship with one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. We left all of this for the akhirin, for the people who came after them. We are remembering the relationship of a father and son. How? كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is how we reward the doers of good. They did good in their internal relationship. They did good with their external relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hajj now has been centralized for eternity as a reminder of the fatherhood, as a reminder of a relationship between a father and a son, to be praised by all of the succeeding generations. So go back to that first question I asked you, what was your relationship like, or what is your relationship like with your father? And now look at the relationship of Ibrahim alayhi salam with his son Ismail and see what it is and where we should be in our own personal lives.